So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week we studied about the call of the new creation from the sixth volume, chapter number 3. So we have been studying sixth volume from many days. So last time I think we studied till page number 141, para 1. So we'll continue from page number 141, the next paragraph. So first paragraph, Amar brother, can you read, brother?
Okay, brother. Those dear men of God, John and Charlie Wesley, undoubtedly were consecrated men themselves, and yet their conception of the results of consecrations not only did good to some, but in a measure did injury to others by creating an unscriptural expectation which could not be realized by all, and therefore through discouragement work evil to such. It was a great mistake on their part of suppose and teach that consecration to the Lord meant in every case the same degree of exuberant experience those born of Christian parents and reared under the hallowed influence of Christian home introduced instructed in a respect to all the affairs of life of the Word of God, and who under these circumstances had ever sought to know and to do the divine will should not expect the upon reaching years of discretions and making a consecration of themselves individually to the Lord. They would have the same overflowing joy that might be experienced by another who had up to that time been a prodigal, an alien, a stranger, and a foreigner to holy things.
No, finished. Finished over there.
Yes, brother.
Okay, thank you. Last time we read that the topic was that emotion, not sanctification. That means emotion, some outward, you see, joy or outward reaction is not consecration. So continuing that matter only, here our brother tells that these concepts of outward demonstration or outward expression of some emotion or feelings is a result of consecration. As we last time saw, you see, upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit came like a dove. And on the day of Pentecost, you see, the Holy Spirit came upon the entire church, especially upon the apostles, like the form of a cloven tongues. So everybody thinks that every time anybody is consecrated, these type of outward expression or outward symbols, you see, is to be carried out. And thus, you see, we see that in the church, you see, these false doctrines came into the church. And especially during the Dark Ages, you see, this went to the peak. And after the Dark Ages was over, when the Reformation started, this did not cease. You see, this began to take a new, you see, look, especially when the, you see, great Reformation started, and you see, the Protestants who protested against the Roman Catholic system and came out, you see, like here what our brother mentions, like John Calvin, Charles Wesley, and other, you see, many prominent reformers. See, they did a good work initially by revolting against the Roman Catholic system, against the papacy system. But after coming out, you see, they should have continued in that greater light, but they ceased to grow more and more in that light, which actually led them in such a way. So, yes, what happened was that, you see, the same thing, you see, began to creep again in the Protestants, you see, denominations also. That after consecration, as a result of consecration, you see, some outward expression or outward, you see, outward symbol or outward feeling or outward things should be expressed after consecration. Hence, we see that working of miracles, you see, speaking in tongues and doing all sorts of things. In the name of Christ, they think these are the, you see, symbols and these are the things that has to be recognized as a sign of being a true Christian. But we read in the Bible, when we studied the basic class about tongues, the Bible clearly tells that the tongues is a sign not for the believers, you see, but for the unbelievers. So that is not a sign that we speak in tongues, that it is a sign of a Christian, you see. So these things are not to be expected. Though the Reformation began well, you see, those men who did this Reformation, though did not have the complete knowledge about consecration as we have today, yet to their extent, you see, they did the job. But this has brought some good result, you see, as well as some bad effect upon the church. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph, Gopal brother, can you read?
The conversion of the latter would mean a radical change and turning toward God of all of life's currents and forces previously running away from God and into sin and selfishness. But the former, whose sentiments and reverence and devotion had from earliest infancy been properly directed by godly parents toward the Lord and his righteousness, could feel no such abrupt change or revolution of sentiment and should expect nothing of the kind. Such should realize that as the children of believing parents, they had been under divine favor up to the time of their personal responsibility, and that their acceptance at this time meant a full endorsement of their past allegiance to God and a full consecration of all their talents, powers, and influence for the Lord and His truth and His people. These should realize that their consecration was only their reasonable service and should be instructed from the word that having thus fully presented their already justified humanity to God, that they may now appropriate to themselves in a fuller degree than before the exceeding great and precious promises of the scriptures, which belong only to the consecrated and their children. If additionally, they are then granted a clearer sight into the divine plan or even into the beginning of it, they should consider these an evidence of divine favor toward them in connection with the high calling of this gospel is, and they should rejoice therein.
Okay, good. Thank you, brother. So here, you see, there are two types of people where our brother gives example in his paragraph. Like, one example is that the first thing which what he mentions is that a person who is not born in a godly family, you see, but is out of the you see Christian faith and not nurtured by a godly Christian family. As he comes to the truth and as he consecrates, you see, there can be radical changes in his life, you see, towards God. Like, for example, if you take example about you see myself. Okay, I don't know about your this one cases, but in our case, in my case, you see, I came from a different religion background totally. You see, and I was in a nominal Christians just for a few months, not even a year. So as I came to the truth, you see, this truth, the word of God, had drastical changes in me. Why? Because the way I lived before, you see, before coming to knowledge of truth, that was a very, you see, in a hopeless condition, not to the, you see, nowhere matching to the scriptures. So once the scriptures came in, you see, what we do? We try to align ourselves. So if you see our consecrated life compared to now, then the life which was before what we're living in the world, you see, from this angle, it seems to be almost a lot of changes in there. But do the people who are Christians, who are nurtured very well by a Christian family, have the same experience? No. That's what our brother says in this paragraph. Those who are born and brought up by a Christian family, as a good Christian family, but that they don't know the truth. You see, if such of any of the people who come to the understanding of the clear knowledge of this truth, you see, once they consecrate, will there be any drastic changes in their life? If you see, no, not much drastic changes can they expect immediately. Why? Why can't they expect any drastic changes? Because already, as they are nurtured in the truth by a Christian good family, they know some basics of the Bible, like you should not lie, you should not cheat, you see, you should not defraud somebody, you should not speak evil about somebody, you should try to mind your own business, you should not backbite, you should not speak bad words, all these things. So, compared to the whole world, a person who was brought in a Christian family, a good Christian family, he is a very good person compared to the whole world who are not in the truth or don't know even nothing about the Bible. So once he consecrates, so what does he have in his life that he need to quit away, you see, as he comes to the mode of consecration? There's not much, you see, because he's already developed some good characters in him. So such type of people, you see, such type of cases, we can't expect any drastic changes in their life as soon as they consecrate. So, does it mean that consecration is not accepted? No. Then what is the thing that we should expect from them as a godly Christian family? What should we expect from them as they consecrate? What changes should we expect from them? You see, here it says, you see, additionally, a clear insight into the divine plan of the ages will be given. You see, whether you see, completely degraded in sin, you're in such a hopeless condition, then you come to the knowledge of truth, or you're brought up in a good family, then you come to the knowledge of truth. You see, the common changes a person can see in such type of consecrated brethren is that their clear insight into the divine plan. You see, this is a clear sign of divine favor. You see that God has chosen them. They are in the high calling. They are in that running race where they're running for the crown. So this is a clear, you see, evidence what we can expect from a truly consecrated brother or sister, whether they come from a Christian family or they don't come from the Christian family. Clear insight into the knowledge of God. You see, hence, we see what happened when Jesus took baptism. You see, we see in the Bible that the heavens were open. You see, so what does it mean? Heavens were opened. We have seen this, you see, several times. Heavens were open means doesn't mean that literally heaven were opened, some thought a door in heaven was opened, and Jesus saw that heaven door open from earth itself. Heavens were opened means what? You see, many of the heavenly things which are in the scriptures were hidden through Jesus Christ. You see, until his consecration. But once he, when he consecrated, many of the truth, which was hidden to him also, you see, was revealed. He began to understand the inner and the in-depth meaning of God's words. He knew the law, but now he began to understand what actually, you see, the law meant. He knew, but he understood what actually it meant. There is a difference of just understanding knowledgeably and clearly, you see, perceiving it. This perception, a clear understanding of God's plan, what each exactly, what has to be done, what things he has to keep in the law, what does all the law things signify, the type and antitypes, you see, all these things he understood only after consecration. So, as the body member of Christ, as a consecrated children of God, we can expect a sign, a symbol, or what you say, a outward thing to recognize that our consecration is accepted, is a clear insight into the divine plan. That means our understanding about the Bible, our understanding about, you see, God's divine plan, you see, begins to increase. We see that enlightenment where we can clearly differentiate between good and evil. Somebody read Hebrews 5th chapter, last verse. Anybody read Hebrews 5:12? I think it's 5:12 or 5th chapter, last verse.
Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
You see, strong meat belongs to whom? Who are, you see, matured, who have their senses exercised, you see, to reason which is bad and which is good, which is evil and which is good, who are able to differentiate. So, this is the, you see, identification that we are growing in Christ. This is the identification that we are in Christ. You see, increase in understanding of the word of God, that able to discern which is right and which is wrong. Okay, good. Next paragraph. Amar brother, can you read? One minute. Amar brother, I think you read, no?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then I think Romy sister. Sorry, missed it.
Okay. Okay, brother. Even this opening of our eyes of our understanding is a
No, I think
matter.
One more paragraph there, sister. The Apostles' Expression in page number 142. Last paragraph.
Okay. The Apostle expression, we walk by faith and not by sight, is applicable to the entire church of his gospel is, the Lord's desire is to develop our faith, that we should learn to trust him where we cannot trust him. With a view to this, he leaves many things partially obscure so far as human side of our or judgment is concerned, to the intent of faith may be developed in a manner and to a degree that would be possible if sign and wonders were granted to our earthly sense. The eyes of our understanding are to be opened toward God through the promises of his word, through the discernment and understanding of the truth, to bring us joy of faith in the things not seen as yet and not recognized by us naturally.
Okay, thank you, sir. See, the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, that means what? You see, the things which are invisible, that is the thing that makes us to walk in that way. You see, faith. You see, because now the complete gospel age is completely dependent on faith. You see, in Timothy, Apostle Paul said, I have fought. You see, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:8, he said, I have fought a good fight of faith. Why such importance is given to faith? Because in the gospel age, if we prove to God that though many of the things we can't see, yet we trust in the Lord, though many of the promises which God has promised in our life, though we don't see that realistic fulfilled in our life in front of our eyes, but yet we trust in God that these things are happening. That faith, you see, God appreciates. Why? Because God is calling us to be a part of the little flock who sit along with Jesus Christ and rule for 1,000 years. These are the people who are supposed to be irreversible or unchangeable. They can't change. They should not change. At any moment of life, they should never change. You see, that, you see, is the main concept of God calling the lakh and 44,000 to be the particle of divinity. That means what? Once you be in a divine nature, at any cost, there should not be any negativity or any thought or any small iota of drawing back or changing. You see, changing against God. You see, going against God. You see, we should be the complete express image of Christ in how? Not in the flesh, but in our heart condition. You see, and for all these things to be achieved, you see, it can't be achieved in this flesh. That means what? Literally in the sight. You see, literally in our actions. You see, this can't be achieved. But yet, these things can be achieved in our faith. You see, so this is invisible. Okay, this faith is invisible. Can I see your faith? You see, no. You see, that's my inner belief. That's my inner trust on God. You see, and how can I share my faith? You see, we can't share our faith to anybody, but we can express it. You see, but I can't give my faith to you. I can share a certain bit of my experiences so that you also may grow in faith. And why God has left it like this? Because God wants us to develop in faith. You see, how much our faith should be? You see, the Bible says that our faith should be like the mustard seed. Okay, at the beginning of consecration. What about the end of the consecration? Should we be still at the mustard seed level? You see, no. The faith should grow. Add to your faith virtue. Bible says, no. Peter, Apostle Peter expresses in his letter, no. Add to your faith virtue. That means faith should increase day by day. We had a faith yesterday, like a small mustard seed. Today, at least it should increase some 1% at least. Okay? And he allows such conditions in our life where we cannot trace God. You see, where we cannot see God. Why? Because that is the way we develop faith. You see? Like, for example, I'll tell you a small story. You see, one person was there, it seems. He was, you see, trusting the Lord very much. He had faith in the Lord very much. But he's a very short-tempered person, it seems. He used to easily get angry. So one day in his prayer, he asked the Lord, Lord, please, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be a short-tempered person. I want to develop patience. Please help me, Lord. See, as he prayed like this one, next day, immediately what happened when he woke up, you see, he thought, at least today, definitely God will hear my prayer and my life today will be very peaceful. You see, but the other thing happened. You see, in his life, the entire day, wherever he went, there was no, you see, peace at all. There was no patience at all. He was very impatient. Compared to the all other days, he was almost, you see, very most impatient that particular day, it seems. So at the end of the night, he again prayed to God, Lord, I asked you for patience. What is that you have done today? From morning till evening, I have been very angry. All the, you see, situation, it was impatient. You see, then the Lord replied, it seems, my son, actually, you asked me for patience, sir. So how do you develop your patience, sir? You develop your patience when you are put into the impatient situation only. Then only you will learn to bear that impatient situation and to develop and start exercising patience. Then only patience will increase in you. And as you keep on practicing it, it will come to complete maturity. And you will be perfect in patience. The same way, dear brethren, you see, God wants us to develop in faith. How does God develop us in our faith? By putting us into the situation, you see, a very faithless situation, where we won't be able to trust the Lord at all, where we won't be able to exercise our faith. But at that time, God expects us to show some faith. How much? Beginning with a small, like a mustard seed. You see, slow increase. You see, so that we develop. You see, what happens? Once in one experience, we develop a little bit of faith. Next experience, oh no, yesterday God had given me this trial, this experience. So what did I develop? Oh, I trusted in the Lord, but my God did not leave me. You see, He held me and He upheld me. You see, and at last, you see, He has heard me and He has saved me. So what will happen? Exercise of faith, that fruit of that faith, the result of that faith, that how has God led us? You see, that stays with us. The next trial comes the same way, the same type of trial, it comes the next way. You see, next time, you see, we'll be prepared. God has saved me previous time. Definitely, God will help me this time. So, it is in this way that we develop faith. It doesn't happen anything magically. You see, so ends, God leaves so many things obscure. You see, that means what? When initially, before we come to the mode of consecration or before we consecrate, you see, God leaves many things in a vague way. That means, He doesn't expect us to understand the truth completely, 100 or 100% understand everything, all the classes, you should be thorough. Like as we teach you, you should also be ready to teach others. No. You see, we can't expect that one at all until God gives us the Holy Spirit. You see, God gives us a basic understanding. You see, basic understanding of the truth, where we understand the differentiation between the good and even the Babylon, the true church. You see, and come out of it, and thou love the Lord with all our heart, so that we consecrate to Him. This is only this much. You see, and the firm belief in the ransom. You see, and the clear clarity of the Trinity. Only these basic things, you see, God expects from us. He doesn't expect 100% knowledge before consecration. No, nobody can get that one. You see, not even me, not even you, now the brethren. You see, it's only after consecration that God gives a clear understanding. You see, somebody read Hebrews 6th chapter. Read from verse 6 chapter 4 and 5.
Hebrew chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have the taste the good word of God and
Wait, wait, wait,
the
stop.
power. Okay.
Okay, see, this actually is a step of our consecration. You see, how do we come to consecration? You see, then the mode of consecration, what happens? You see, until we come to the mode of consecration, you see, once we consecrate, God gives us the Holy Spirit. But what is the process? What does the Bible say? What is the first step? Big step, but it is impossible for those who were once
Enlightened.
enlightened. That means what? First thing is that God opens our eyes of understanding. How God opens our eyes of understanding? As we listen to the classes, our eyes of understanding are open. How much? To what extent? To the extent of realizing that Jesus is the ransom not only for Christians but for the whole world. Enlightenment. So many classes, how do we, you see, see? We see it as a great difference between Babylon and the Bible. That's it. You see, we don't understand the each and you see, intricate details of the subject. Correct? In ransom, we see that why angels could not pay ransom, why human beings could not pay ransom, why you see, animals could not pay ransom. Did we really understand the concept that moment itself? No. The only thing, you see, we understood in ransom when we heard that the first time before consecration, that Jesus died for everybody. In second coming, all will be resurrected, irrespective of whether you believe in Jesus Christ now or not. So only that enlightenment will come. After enlightenment, what will happen? It seems the second thing.
And have tasted of a heavenly gift.
And have tasted the heavenly gift. Now, what is this heavenly gift? What is the gift that God gave from heaven? What is this gift? Tell me, what is this gift? Okay, Munnaster, Gopal brother, what is the gift? What is the gift that God gave from heaven? Oh, you're all there?
Forgiveness of sin, brother.
Read Romans 6:23.
Romans 6:23. For the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of the God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
You see? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, you see, is forgiveness of sins. You see, God has forgiven our sin. That is a heavenly gift. Free gift. You see? Extra bonus is given after giving the wages. Second thing, ransom. You see, first is our eyes of understanding are opening, realizing that Jesus died for us, our sins are all forgiven. Next, third step, Hebrews 6, 4, third one.
Okay, brother. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Then only you are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So first our eyes of understanding has to be opened. Then we received the Holy Ghost when we sacrifice our bodies as a, you see, living sacrifice to God, consecrate. Then God gives us the Holy Spirit. Once we get the Holy Spirit, what happens? Next, continue, sister. Continue.
If this and have the tested the good word of God and the
And have
power.
tested the good word of God means what? As we read the word of God, we get more and more understanding and tasted the good word of God. As we go through tough experiences in our life, you see, realizing the precious promises, keeping faith and trusting the precious promises, you see, what happens? When we are delivered, that taste and see that the Lord is good, we will experience in our life. Experiencing the goodness of our Lord in our life. See, what is it? You see? And have tasted the good word of God. First is enlightenment. Enlightenment is different. See, we can understand the differentiation. But now, tasting it as we read, enlightenment, understanding more clarity, more in-depth. You see, revelation of God's understanding of his plan, entire thing. This is a sign that he is consecrated. You see, no other outward symbol is required. You see, tongues, miracles, you see, clapping, jumping, shouting, singing, songs, you see, all this hallelujah. You see, these are not the signs. Composing songs, you see, and that's what the Babylon people do, no? You see, go and doing some other meetings and all those things. No, 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 no. And going to the villages, and preaching to the Gentiles. You see, these are not the signs. The discernment and the understanding of the truth. You see, before you come to the knowledge of truth and after consecration, that differentiation is there. No, that is a very, very important. This thing we should expect in our life. Hence, you see, many of the brethren, you see what they do, no? You see, the first thing they prefer is to study the word of God. You see, and how do they study the word of God? The main preference they give to study the word of God is, you see, the six volumes. You know, the six volumes, hence, you know, what is the name that is given to the six volumes? Studies in the scripture. Actually, earlier when brother, you see, our Russell brother was alive, this name was given as Millennial Dawn. You know, and you know what was the name that was given to the sixth volume? And this was the first volume, second volume, I think it was published. You see, the name given to the sixth volume earlier was The Way to Life and Happiness. That was the original name that was given to the sixth volume. You see, and what is the first volume, you know, what was called as? You see, Food for Thinking Christians. That was the name actually was given for the first volume. Hence, you see, the first volume is completely about basics. You see, ransom, three ways, three worlds, the fifth universal empire, two salvations, you see, heavenly and earthly salvation, you see, ransom, these things, and Bible, how important is the Bible, why God permits evil? These are all given in the first volume. You see, actually, you know, out of this point I'm telling you, first actually our brother printed so many copies of the first volume in a different style, it seems. Different style in the sense, he tried to approach the people, the common people of Christians, America. America, everybody are Christians, no? So, he printed this first volume as a booklet and began to distribute to many Christian sisters in a negative way. Negative way means what? This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. The entire first volume was printed in that way originally. So, not many people, you see, took this book and read it, seems. And whoever read, they rejected this book, it seems. So, there was not much sale or demand for this book. Then, brother thought, what is the problem? Why there's so many truth in this one? Why are not many people giving importance? Then he brought the book and read it free of his mind and understood. He read it from the standpoint of as a just ordinary Christian, it seems. Okay? Then he understood so many mistakes in his volume that at each and every point he is told this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. So human psychology is that if you tell wrong that this is wrong to anybody, they won't accept. You see? So he got all the volumes, it seems. All the first volumes, you see, printed one, he bought it back, rewrote, it seems. Rewrote as we have today. And he began to publish and distribute to everybody, it seems. It was the most sold book during his days, it seems. Food for thinking Christians. We take now how to study the Bible. You see, same thing, entire in a question format. You see, brother printed the first volume. It had a voluminous, you see, demand and went on well, it seems. So, their faith increased among the Christians. They began to come to knowledge of truth. So, basic. But after coming to knowledge of truth, what happens? You see, once you consecrate, you experience God in your life. You develop. So, this is the major sign that we should see among a consecrated brethren that whether their consecration is accepted to the Lord or not. You see, if their consecration is accepted, the primary thing is that they will experience God's, you see, leading in their life. And how do they experience this one? But a clarity of truth. You see, like for example, how does God give this clarity of understanding of the Bible? See, there's a brother who has written a book, you see, Pilgrim Echoes, okay? I think that's the book, okay? In that one, he compares our God to a master, you see, a owner, a company owner where we work. How is our company owner? Our company owner, that means our Lord, is very liberal, it seems. You see? So, in the world, we can't find any liberal masters. We are only paid after completely working and then after the month is over, we get the payment. But our God is not like this, it seems. You see? Remember, when did God tell to give the wages? It is after the month or what? As per the Bible, when should you pay the wages to a laborer? You understood my point? When should the laborers be paid? Is it to be paid after a month is over?
No, it's a day that he worked, brother. Same day.
Same?
Same day.
Same day when?
After finishing the work, I think at dawn. In dusk, brother, dusk.
Before sunset, correct, na?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Why? Because from morning till evening is worked only for what? For his food. So don't, you see, stop him from having food. You pay the wages before the sun sets, God says. Now apply this one to God. You see, we work. We work for the Lord. You see, what work? You see, not doing Lord's work. Not only that one, but doing work within ourselves. No, we do a lot of work now. Struggle a lot of things. You see, within ourselves, Lord, I don't want to do this one. I don't want to behave like this one. Oh, Lord, I did this mistake. I want to correct myself. I want to make my colleagues sure. Oh, Lord, so many negative things come into my mind. I want to fight all these things. I want to tackle all these things. Help me to overcome, Lord. You see, these things are disturbing me. These things are hindering me into development of Christ. These things comes to our mind, no? Everybody, you all have this trial or not? You all have these experiences in your life, everybody?
Yes, brother.
We have these experiences. So once these experiences come, you see, we don't expect, we don't experience the answers, answer to our prayers immediately. You see? But yet by the end of the day, somehow You see, somehow, we don't know how, but somehow God would have answered our prayers. He would have paid us. How does he pay? In that book, beautifully it tells. He gives example of that. You see, a parable is there where what's a parable? Where the laborers work from morning till evening, and each and every part of the day, the master goes to the market and brings new laborers. At last, a laborer comes at just half an hour before the closure of the day, and the master pays the wages. You see, and how does he pay the wages, sir? Does he pay the wages for the persons who come first? No. The parable says he paid the wages to those who came at the last. To those who came at the last, he paid the wages first. And those who work from morning till evening, even to them it was the same wages. And those who worked at the last moment, even to them it was the same wages. There was no differentiation. So similarly, our master is like this only. He sees us, he gives us some wages. Again he returns, again he comes. Oh, I haven't paid you, no? Come, come on, take. Again he comes at the end of the day. You see, just before sunset, and says, oh, I forgot to pay you today. Come on, take your wages. Again, at the end of the day also, last moment, 11th hour, our master comes and again pays us. This is our gracious God. So, similarly, each and every trial we face, each and every experiences we pass through, you see, in each and every experiences, as we keep on surrendering to God, and as we keep on, you see, sharing all our feelings as prayers to God, God gives us wages. You see, that will be paid on the moment. You see, but some of the things we don't realize. But some of the things we will realize, it will be, you see, quite late. But God will definitely make us understand that we are receiving the wages. That is tasting the good word of God. You see? See, how do we taste? After receiving the Holy Spirit, when you go through that experience, you see, in the toughest time, you see, we can see the salvation of God. We can see the hand of God working in it. You see? Like, for example, I'll just tell my testimony today. Today, what happened? You see, there's a 3-day meeting in our office from morning till evening. You see, I was not supposed to come today at all so early to attend your meeting. You see, I was stuck in the office from morning till evening. There's a meeting. From morning, almost I was free only, just sitting in the meeting. Ultimately, when it was almost 6:30, where I was supposed to leave and come to the house for join for the meeting, last moment, you know what happened? Just a few minutes before, the person who was doing the job, he told, I can't do, I'm getting headache. So he went away. So immediately I was put into the job. And everybody are telling, no, do. We need to finish this work at any cost, or let it be any time. You see? Then it was very difficult for me. Lord, I want to go for this meeting. Today, volume study is there. If I sit for this meeting, I won't be able to go. Every frequently, I'm canceling the classes, Lord. I don't want to do this one. Please help me. You see, I'm just praying in my heart. You know, I tried my level best to bring that person again to make him sit in the seat, but it did not happen. He told I can't come at all. You see, I even put these things to my higher ups. Higher ups told, no, nothing can be done. You sit and do. I don't know what happened. It was almost 6:30 at past 6:45, because if I leave at 6:30, then only I reach my home for the volume study, to join the volume study. So last moment, you know what happened? Automatically, they only told, okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish it off tomorrow. We don't want to do it now. And one person told, no, we'll do it now. Then automatically they only had the conversation. They told, if you sit now, it will, even if it sit for one day, it doesn't happen. So we'll do tomorrow. You see, so 7 o'clock I left the office, came rushing to attend the meeting. By God's grace, traffic also was very clear. Without any hindrance, it came. You see, so who knew whether this thing would happen or not? See, so God hears our prayers. God sees our intention, our desire. You see, walk by faith. How do we walk by faith? This is exercise of our faith. When should we exercise our faith? Not when everything is good for us, when everything is against us. You see, that is the time that we need to take these things to the Lord in prayer. You see, I don't know, suddenly these type of experiences I have seen thousands in my life. So I'm just sharing this one. Why? Because these types of experiences actually increases our faith. You see, this increases our faith to trust the Lord more. You see, sometimes what will happen? So much pressure will come. We'll be stuck somewhere. Huh? That time, instead of getting perplexed, instead of getting tensed, instead of getting worried, instead of getting anger, we will immediately go to the Lord. Lord, that day you help me. This day also I request you, please help me out. If it be thy will, please help me out. You see, so God will definitely make a way. See, the other day when I canceled the class, you see, I put message to Brother Gopal or somebody. You see, I told you, it's every raining, every terrible rain. You see, this is big hailstone. I'll send you the video on the group. Just see what we read in the Bible now, hailstorm. You see, big hailstorm. It fell like that only. You see, in our office, nobody could come out. Office was completely flooded. You see, that day also, class was there. That day also, I prayed to the Lord. Lord, if somehow this thing stops, I can go to the volume today. Please, Lord, somehow stop it. But God did not answer my prayer. I put a message to a brother. He said, probably Gopal brother or Ashish brother. You see, immediately, brother also replied saying, brother, here also terrible rain. So, who knows? You see, so God would have heard our prayer in this way. Some other way, one that other way. You see, God compensates it. That is called tasting the good word of God. How do we taste it? Not before getting the Holy Spirit, only after getting the Holy Spirit. You see, hence, once we teach the basic class to the brethren, we immediately tell, come to the mode of consecration. What did Apostle Paul say? I beseech you, brethren. That means what? Beseech means what? I request you, brethren. I'm not compelling you, I'm not forcing you, but I'm requesting you. You see, ting the grace and mercy of God, you see, before you all, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't just be like this one. Come one step ahead. You see, go to the mode of consecration. Why? Because once you consecrate, your life is totally different. If you are genuinely consecrated, God would never leave you. You see, though come anything, you see, any terrible, any experiences, God will lead you out of it. But whenever God shows the way, we should be always ready to hold his hand. Sometimes it will be a very difficult situation where it will be very terrible and very bitter. Some experiences, we don't want to taste it. We don't want to have it at all. But God, you see, puts us in situation. We are in it. We can't escape. And God doesn't make us to escape also. These experiences are to be drunk. What did Jesus say? The cup which my Father has poured unto me, shall I not drink it? So the cup sometimes too seems to be bitter. But yet we need to drink it. Okay? Once it goes inside, it will have the sweet taste. Some things are very good to taste in our mouth. And after it goes to the belly, it's bitter. And some things, God's tough. One of the major tough experiences, what we don't like, seems to be very bitter. We don't even want to taste it. But these bitter drugs, you see, drugs we need to swallow. Later on, after many years of experience, then only we'll realize whatever God has done is done for good. Okay, so these experiences, these are the things we should expect as a sign that God is leading us, that we are consecrated and our consecration is accepted a lot. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here. Anybody, any questions, any doubts?
No question, brother.
Okay, good. Then we'll end with a word of prayer. Okay, so Munasita, can you pray?
Okay, brother, let's pray. जीवित अनि प्रशंसित परमेश्वर पिता, तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद जुन समयमा हामी प्रत्येकलाई अनलाइन मार्फत तपाईँको वचन सिक्न बुझ्नको निम्ति भेला गर्नुभएको छ। अझ हामीलाई तपाईँको सत्यतालाई गहिरेर बुझ्न हामी प्रत्येकलाई सहायता गर्नुभएको होस्। हामी हाम्रो समाजका कानहरूलाई, समाजका आँखाहरूलाई अझ खोलिदिनु भएको होस् परमेश्वर पिता। धन्यवाद यो समयलाई तपाईँको हात राख्दै बिन्ती माग्दछु प्रभु यीशु ख्रीष्टको नाउँमा। आमेन।
Amen. Thank you. God bless. Good night, everybody.
थ्याङ्क यू ब्रदर।
Bye, Munastar. Bye, Ashish brother. Gopal brother. Good night.
गुड नाइट ब्रदर।
Bomi sister, my brother. Good night. Convey my
गुड
regards to
ब्रदर।
Lulia sister also.
श्योर ब्रदर। श्योर।
Bye, bye, bye. Bye, Ashish brother.
हाउ्स
Good
ब्रदर।
night.
आर यू हियरिंग?
Ah, brother, tell me.
I was trying to communicate with you.
Okay.
The parable you are mentioning in during the study is in Matthew 21 to 16, parable of the workers in the vineyard. Okay.
Oh,
And
Matthew
beside,
21, huh?
you are telling that the volume 6 name. Could you please repeat the name? What's the name? The previous name of volume 6?
Previous name of which name?
The old name of volume 6 that you are mentioning, The Way to
Ah,
Happiness or
wait,
something.
wait, wait. 1 minute. 1 minute. The Way to Life and Happiness.
Brother, could you please mention the reference? Because last time also you were telling the same thing, and I was trying to search the reference. Is it
You
mentioned in
don't, brother, you won't get the reference anywhere. This is said, this is actually shared by a brother. So I don't think you will get any proof in any of your website or anything that that this volume is printed.
and it's mentioned by some other believer, some other
No, no,
Bible
no.
student.
Some of our brother only. Some of our senior brother.
And it's not mentioned in Pastor Russell, any of the Pastor Russell writings.
I did not go to search for it. So even if you want to search, how do you going to search? In Google and all, if you search, you won't get it. So probably if you can read the reprints somewhere, it will be mentioned.
So do you know the reprint or the reprint number?
No, I don't know. I never tried to search. So you can search it and let me know if there is any such thing.
I have searched once that I didn't find as well. So that's why I was asking to you. Anyway, that's a good info.
Okay then. Thank you. Bye everybody. Good night.
Thank you, brother.
Good night.